Welcome to Royal Grace Chapel, the Empowerment Center, where faith comes alive through inspiring messages and teachings. At Royal Grace Chapel, our mission is to empower you to connect with God in worship, relationship with other believers, and enable you to fulfill your purpose for global impact. We believe in the power of transformation through the Word of God, and that's exactly what you'll experience as you journey with us through our plethora of messages. Get ready to be equipped, uplifted, and empowered on your path of faith. Be transformed as you listen to today's empowering message.
Other part of the service. And what I'm going to be sharing with you is titled Preparing for the Next Wave of Abundance. Wow. Preparing for the next wave of what?
Abundance.
Tell your neighbor, prepare for the next wave of abundance. Now, if your neighbor is not talking to you, say, do you like to lack? Say, I'm talking to you. Prepare for the next wave. For the next wave of abundance. Hallelujah. Now, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19, New Living Translation. Isaiah 43, verse 19. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? Say, I can see it. Say with me, I can see it. I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I thought somebody would be shouting amen. I will create rivers in dry wasteland. Say, that's my portion. The wild animals in the field will thank me. The jackals and the owls too, for giving them water in the desert. Yes, I will make rivers in dry wasteland so my chosen people can be refreshed. God is bringing refreshing to you this season. Verse 21 says, I have made Israel for myself, and they will someday honor me before the whole world. Say with me, it's my season to honor God. Say, last day, it's my season to honor God. Now, you see that the word of the Lord is telling us that this season we should prepare for what God wants to do for us. And what is it that he said he's going to do for us? He said he will make rivers in the desert. Now, that means, you know, a desert is a place where things don't grow, where things don't work. Excessive heat, dryness. And yet, in the midst of that situation, God said he will make rivers in the desert. I am declaring over you this month that God is making a way for you.
Amen.
I said, God is making a way for you.
Amen.
Yesterday, you know, when I was in the house with my children, my wife had to send my son to go and get noodles, Indomie precisely. And when the boy was going out, he said, mommy, it's not 150. Mommy, it's not 150. Mommy, it's not 150. So the mother said, I have heard you. So she gave the boy 150 plus or whatever amount just to go and get. Now, the boy came back and said, it's no longer 150. It's now 300. Now, some week ago, 150 was new to him. So he was shouting, it's now 150, it's now 150. Only for him to get there and say, it's now 300. Within how many weeks? So my wife said to me that it looks as though now we have to start rationing food in this house. Because you see, my own children have entered into the age where it's like they have installed a grinding machine in their stomach. That when they eat now, it's like the thing disappears. So my wife looked at my daughter and said, Juanita, the grinding machine has to stop working. So I said, no, don't talk like that. Why? Let me show you why. Isaiah 60 verse 2. Isaiah 60 verse 2. Those of you who are joining online, I welcome you. And I believe God is blessing you also more today. Isaiah 60 verse 2, look at what it says. Darkness as black as night covers all the nations of the earth. But look at it, it says, but the glory of the Lord rises and appears over you. KJV, change the version. Change it. Said, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall what? Arise upon who? Upon who? And his glory shall be what? His glory shall be seen upon you. Say with me, this season is my season of glory. Not the season of shame. Not the season of disgrace. Say, it's my season of glory. So when I told my wife, don't talk like that, because you see, I understood what the word of God have said concerning this season. He said, the word of God did not say that when things become so difficult, God will abandon you. The word of God did not say that God is only God when things are easy. In fact, you will appreciate, how many of you realize that when there is heat, you appreciate air condition more? When there is heat, you appreciate your fan more. Now, when there is cold, where everywhere is cold, you can decide not to put on the fan. The fan or the AC is useless where the weather is really, really cold. But where there is heat, all right, then the air condition or the fan you have becomes very useful. You see, we have a God who likes to shine when things become difficult. You see, when things become difficult, that is where, you know, we turn around and we shout, God is good. Why? Because there will always be difference between the children of God and the children of the world. I say to you, this is your season to shine. I said to you, this is your season to shine. It's your season to shine. It's not the season for you to start rationing food. It's not the season for you to go down. It's the season for the name of the Lord to be glorified in your life. Somebody shout, I believe it. That is what the word of God had promised us. It's God's promise for us. You don't need light when it is day. That is why we don't put on headlamp, those of us who drive car, during the afternoon. Why should you put on your headlamp when the sun is there already? But the headlamp has been designed that when there is darkness, put on the lights. You are children of the light. In fact, the Bible says you are the light of the world. This season, people will look at you and I and say to you, how are you doing it? I said, how are you doing it? Because God's glory will beautify you. Somebody shout a fire rise. Amen. So it's our season of abundance. Say with me, it's my season of abundance. So what I have come to do for you this Thanksgiving Sunday is how you can prepare for the abundance that God wants to send your way. I have come this Sunday morning to prepare you for the abundance that God wants to send. You see, when if a farmer do not know how to prepare the ground, when rain start falling, there will be not no harvest. So for you as a child of God, when everybody says Nigeria is hard, things are becoming difficult. Oh, yes, we know that that's the reality. But for you and I, the Bible says that your case is different. You have God. You are not fatherless. You are not an orphan. So you as a child of God must know that when you start hearing such thing, you need to know that now I need to prepare for what God wants to do. Now, Matthew chapter 14, how to prepare for the next wave of abundance. No, we'll start hearing testimony of those who have bought property. You know, one way, I started investment class this year, and I began to prophesy from January that you will buy land this year. You will build this year. I'm glad to announce to you, one of my students in my investment class sent me the deed of assignment. He said, Pastor, I have bought my land. Look at it. He said about 2 weeks ago, I said, expect more. It has just started. He said, I have bought my land. I said, because I told them, those I am training, between the age of 20 to 35. I said to them that it is your season to do well. You see, age of 20 to 35 is the age where you have to lay the ground to be a millionaire. So so when they said me, I said, I'm expecting more of you to send me more document of lands. This year is your year of building. Matthew 14, verse 15. How to prepare for the next wave of abundance. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place and the time is now past. Send the multitude away. In other words, it is time to jackpot because it is desert place. Send them away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. Verse 16. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down and the grass on the grass, and took 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and break it and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. Let's pause. What am I sharing now? How to what? How to what? How many of you know that is your season of abundance? Okay, you don't believe. As how many of you believe that God is going to give you abundance this season? You don't look as though you believe it. If you believe it, you will shout it loud and your neighbor will be embarrassed. Can I have somebody who knows how to embarrass their neighbor with their confession of faith? You are too gentle. Your neighbor does not believe that you believe. So I believe it! Now, we have just seen a case of abundance that took place in the desert. Now, let's look at some of the things we need to learn from this scripture we just learned. Number one is that the Bible said that it was evening. If you read it, the Bible said that, and when it was evening. Now, you will realize that the Bible said, walk while it is day, for night cometh when no one can work. So the first disadvantage situation here, that it was evening. It was evening. So it was not time to walk. It's time to go and sleep. The abundance have not come during the daytime. Now, evening here means time that they cannot go and do anything. Evening here means a time where nothing can be done. Most of those who are selling even the bread will have closed. Nothing could have been done. It was evening, it was not day. So you could see here that it appears though the situation is hopeless. The second challenge you will see here is that the Bible then says it was evening, and also that it was a desert place. Not town. A desert place. So the first challenge, evening has come. They can't see where they can get, they can't walk in the evening. Then the next thing is that it was desert place. Place that things don't grow. Place that things don't work. The third challenge here, the Bible calls it that. He said, and the time is now past. The time is now past. Look at the third challenge. In other words, you have passed the age. You didn't buy land when Nigeria, when dollar was 1 naira to 500 naira. You did not build when dollar was 1 naira to 700. You didn't buy a car when dollar was 1 naira to $800. Now, dollar is $1 to over 1,500. And you are now looking at though there nothing can be done. Listen to me. The time is now past. So in your mind, it's like the time to be great has now passed. The time to build has now passed. The time to marry has now passed. Nobody proposed to you when you were 18 or 25 or 30. Now you are now almost 40 or 42. The time has now passed. So that's the third disadvantage situation, or the third challenge. The time has now passed. The first challenge is that it was evening. No opportunity. The second challenge was it was a desert place. A place where season where things no longer grow. The third challenge is that the period for things to happen has now passed. You know, right now you may look at things and say that the time of opportunity has now passed, but I've come to declare to you, God, I've just started with you. Oh, somebody's not going to say, I said, God, I've just started with you. They may say, nothing can be done. The time has now passed. The door has been closed. The gateway has been closed. The opportunity has passed. But let me tell you something, with God, nothing shall be impossible. I've come to declare to you that God is going to remember you this month. Oh, only two people are claiming it right now. Well, every time I prophesy, those who believe, Father, let your angel minister speedy answers to them. The fourth challenge you will observe in this scripture is that the Bible says that they were multitude. It's easier to feed 10 people. You know, I was telling somebody, I told them, it is time to give birth. I said, no, Pastor, it's not the time to give birth now. If we went to give birth, we would have given birth 2 years ago or 1 year. But now, when pampers have increased, baby food has increased, school fees has increased, even Nigeria has increased. And you are now talking about giving birth. They said, mbwano, mba. And I said to them, no, don't think like that. Even though there may be multitude, Jesus just says something can happen. I said, something great is happening to you. Stop thinking like unbelievers. Stop talking as like those who don't have God. There were multitude. Now, you know, when the Bible says multitude, the disciples were afraid because how will you feed this multitude? You have only two people. You have only three children. You have only one or four. All right. And how would I feed them? Well, I have good news for you. The season of abundance is coming upon you. How would I send these children to school? Well, look at it now. You are about to see that even though they were multitude, Jesus never sent them away. He's a God of few and he's a God of multitude. Hallelujah. The third challenge you will then observe is that the Bible says, and there was not enough food. This Bible said that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. The disciples, look at it, verse 16. What they have for the multitude was not enough. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. Then verse 17, they said, no. Verse 17, move with me very fast, guys. Verse 17, and they said unto him, we have here 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Hey, Lord, I have here 30,000 naira salary and I have 4 children. Lord, my salary is 80,000 and I have 6 children. Lord, there is our strength to pay. Lord, I have only a few amounts and my salary has not increased, but the needs have increased. Listen to me and listen well. If you have 5 loaves and 2 fishes, you will still not starve to death. They have 5 loaves. See, the disciples looked at the situation. What can 5 loaves and 2 fishes do in the midst of this huge need? Some of us, the salary has not increased, but the need have gone up. So they said, no, it is time to run away. Nothing can be done. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I have come to show you how to prepare for the next wave of abundance. Regardless of your salary, I am declaring to you, this season, you will see more prosperity than ever before. Amen. The third thing is that there was not enough money. There was not enough money. So we have here 5 loaves and 2 fishes, verse 18. Let me see whether it's in verse 18. Verse 18, guys. All right. Look at what Jesus said to them in verse 18. He said, bring them either to me. Verse 19. And he commanded the money to sit down on the ground and took 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now, the money they have could not buy enough bread. Even though there was a bakery there, Jesus needed millions of naira to buy a lot of bread and fish to feed over 5,000 people. I have come to challenge you today that without your salary, with this level of income, this year, you will do more great things than ever before. Amen. Those who believe, God is giving it to them. Amen. Your salary does not have to increase before God makes you do more. The Bible said the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and add no what? So, Now, how did Jesus turn this situation around? This is now how to prepare yourself for the next wave of abundance. So we've seen all the challenges. Not enough money. The time is now past. Desert place. Multitude. Not enough food. All right. It was evening. But how did he turn it around? How did he turn it around? Verse 19 now. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And looking where? That's the first thing. Looking where? You see, in this season, where you are looking is what will determine what will happen to you. Those who look up to what they have will die of worry this season. The Bible says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh where? Stop looking down. It is time to look. If God has brought you this far, he will keep you in the season of difficulty. The problem in this season is that most people are disappointed because they kept looking to the president. They kept looking to what the government would say. They kept looking to their job. Now, maybe you don't have a job, or you have a job, but your salary has not increased. You look into your bank account, no money is there. You look into this, no money is there, and say, And discouragement comes to you. But let me say to you, those who look up don't get to be put to shame. In this season, I'm challenging you. If you want to see the next wave of abundance, what should you do? What should you do? When mommy says to you, oh boy, we don't know how to go about this. Oh, it's 2 days. He said, mommy, we should do what? Daddy, we should look up. Tell your husband, it is time to look up to God. Those who look up don't get shame. You cannot lose. See, the truth of the matter is this. You cannot be looking up and be looking down at the same time. No, can we try it? Somebody look up and look at down at the same time. Your eyes, do you realize that you have to choose? Pastor Joe is trying to do the two. Put one eye up and put one eye down. See, when I see the way you are talking, it tells me where you are looking. This season, I want to say to you, keep your eyes up. See, if you keep your eyes down, every day, yeah, dollar is now 1,520. Where does it concern you? Dollar is now 1,400. But when it was 1,000, when it was 800, you didn't build a house. When it was 700, you didn't build a house. Now you tell them that, well, it is not the dollar that controls my economy. My economy is controlled from where? I am not saying that we should deny the reality. In the midst of the reality, God is still God. Can you hear Jesus saying that? Oh boy, can you think that Jesus will be waking up one morning and say, oh boy, they say dollar don't be 2,000. So no, my children need to change their school. Dollar is now 3,000 naira. Dollar is now 4. No, can you imagine God talking like that? The Bible says, know ye not that you are God. You are a child of God and you are not permitted to talk like the child of the devil. You must talk the way your father talks. And that is, even when they say there is a downfall, there is a casting, I say, no. If I'm still waiting, even if the dollar becomes 2,000, I will build house this year. I will not be hungry. I will still do well this year. My children will go to school. We will eat well. Why? Because the Bible says, my God shall supply all my needs according to his what? The only time I can be poor is if God is poor. But if God is not poor, you are not permitted to be poor. Say with me, I am not permitted to be poor. Oh, say that so you mean to say, I am not permitted to be poor. So the first wave, if you want to prepare for abundance, is that your eyes must be on God. Look up! They call you, say, hey, you are owing. Look up! The school fees has increased. Look up! Say, Father, they said the school fees has increased. So it's your problem, not my problem. So you are the one that has been supplying in the first place. It's not my salary. Those who depend on their salary will be disappointed this year. But those who depend on God will never be disappointed. See, I want you to know that God is still God, regardless of what is happening now. Jesus understood that the principle of abundance will always come true to those who look up. So that means, where were the disciples looking at? Down. The disciples began to look at the problem, the challenges. You see, if you keep looking at the problem, any problem you focus on only gets bigger. When you focus on the problem, it gets what? Bigger. But when you focus on God, you will see the greatness of God. Whatever you focus on becomes bigger. The moment you keep focusing on God, God becomes bigger and greater. And the greatness of God will make your problem become smaller before you. So you see, Jesus was not afraid of the situation because he could see the greatness of God. That my God is bigger than the current challenges facing me. I have come to challenge you this morning. No matter the situation you find yourself, God is bigger than it. I said, God is bigger than it. I said, it? God is bigger than it. Look at that problem, eyeball to eyeball, and say, God is bigger than my problem. Hallelujah. The next thing he did, look at it again, after he looked up, the next thing he did, Bible said, and he blessed it. See, looking up, he blessed it. He blessed. The blessed means that he praised God for it. He gave thanks to God for it. Listen to me. I have come to announce to you that thanksgiving turns things around for the better. The Bible says, for we know that all things work together for good. In other words, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Whenever you release the word thanksgiving on it, you are actually saying, Lord, I believe you can turn it around for good. You don't only thank God for things that are working. You thank God for the things that are not working so that it can begin to work. Hallelujah, somebody. Have you ever wondered, the man who wrote most of the Psalms, he had only one job. He was a fighter. The man who wrote most of the Psalms, David, what was his job? He was the chief of army staff. He was a warrior. Why will a warrior be the one to write most of the Psalms? It tells you that David have come to realize the best way to fight your battle. You fight your battle through gratitude. You fight your battle through praise. You see, in other words, the reason why nobody could defeat David was that he was a man who have come to become not just a prayer warrior, but a praise warrior. In this season, it is time to know that praise and thanksgiving is one of the ways you can fight your battle. And when you fight your battle through praise, you can never emerge as a loser. Hallelujah, somebody. David, go out and read your Bible. You hear that Bible said the Psalm of David, the day that Absalom was chasing him. The Psalm of David, when he was in the cave of Adullam. Is it most of the Psalms, whenever David was faced with difficult situation, do you know what he does? It is time to write a new Psalm of thanksgiving. It's time to write a new Psalm of praise. Each time if he's faced with a bigger challenge, go and read your Bible. You hear the Psalm of David when Saul was chasing him. In other words, David have come to realize that the best way to fight my battle is by praising God. You see, when you praise, this is what happens. You are actually, please come, sir. Let me show you what happens. Watch. This is me. I need somebody who looks like somebody who can fight people very well. All right. Okay, but Akunle, people are mentioning Brother Akunle. But Akunle, why do they think that you have muscle like that? Okay, come. Watch. I want to show you. Let's stand like this so that people can see well. This is the problem or the challenges that is facing you. This is you. Naturally, when you are faced with this difficult situation and you begin to pray, right? So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, make a way. Now, this is God. Permit me to just use this man to represent God right now. God then walks through you, through your hand, to begin to fight. So, God, put your hand behind me. So, in other words, anytime you are praying, you are faced with this challenge. What you are doing is that, all right, you are not looking intimidating. So you see, Father, I bind it in the name of Jesus. Father, you see, God is strengthening you because the Bible said that the Holy Spirit is our strengthener. Oh, yeah. He's strengthening you to confront that situation. Oh, problem, are you tired of me already? All right. So, you see, this is one way to fight your battle. God is strengthening you, walking through you to deliver the punches, to deliver it. Now, you can fight. But remember that if this man throw the blow, who will he eat? Who will he eat? Me or God? Who will he eat? So you see that I can keep fighting my battle like this. All right? Throw one blow. Yes! You see? Now, I'm fighting. I can get testimony this way. I can get victory this way. Prayer is good. But prayer is you engaging God walking through you to fight your battle. That is what happens when you pray. Remember that prayer is God walking through you to fight your battle. This is one way you can fight. But there's another way. Anytime you then switch to praise, the battle is still there. But this is how, what happens. Father, you are good. Father, you are kind. My Father, my God, I worship you, Lord. You see, praising God does not mean the problem is not there. Praising God does not stand where people can see you properly, please. Praising God does not mean the absence of the challenge. But praising God means I know that this guy, I can't fight him better. So I am now changing it. Lord, you are so good. Blessed be your name. In heaven you are the Lord. On earth you reign forever. Oh God, how great. You see, even the problem has become gentle. You see, the problem has become gentle because the problem is if I tafele fele. The person that is fighting the battle is now who? God. So you see that if the problem has become gentle. Yeah. Automatically, it does not mean that the problem is not there. But when you change the formula, number one is one way of intimidating your problem and telling you that, see, I know that you are strong, but there is a stronger way. My God is bigger than you. And you see, Bible said that, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, that who? The King of glory might come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord that is strong. The Lord that is mighty. So when you begin to say, Lord, you are good and your mercies endure it forever. You are saying, Lord, I thank you because last year you are the one that did it for me. I thank you because you have brought me this far. You don't have an abandoned project. Lord, you are, whatever you have started, you will finish it. I praise you, Lord. You are the one that gave me this child. You are the one that gave me this job. You are the one that gave me the money to start in the first place. Lord, I thank you because you are still God in this situation, in this season of my life. Oh Lord, I praise you. Oh Lord, I worship you. Do you know what you are doing? God, you are engaged the battle. See, one punch, you see, the problem respect. Every problem knows that you cannot contend with God. Listen to me. This season, what do you need? Change the formula. You have been standing in front of this problem for so long. But now, I'm not saying it's not good to pray. But you see, but I'm saying it's good to praise and pray. Whenever you want to pray, I'm challenging you. Spend more time in praise than in the prayer itself. Spend more time in worshiping, in thanking God. Because you see, every Goliath that has come your way is already dead before it arrives. That was what David knew. You see, God will not allow any problem that would defeat you in the first place to come to you. Any problem that comes to you is because God needs you. He said to Pharaoh, say, I am allowing you to add in your heart so that my name will be glorified among the heathen. You see, that challenge is not to embarrass you, but for the name of God to be. Say with me in this month of March, I am changing the formula. God is going ahead of me.
And I will just stay behind him. Hallelujah. Put your hand together for Jesus.
Start praising more. See, when you don't learn to give thanks and be praiseful, even the one you have, you will start losing it. Samson was a mighty man, but go and check. Why did Samson end in destruction? There was nowhere that Samson ever thanked God for all the victories God gave to him. Go and check. Not a single place. When even he opened the mouth of the lion, unlike David, that every time God gives him victory, he writes a psalm, he thanks God. But go and check. Samson never acknowledged God for once. No wonder he was destroyed. Those who are ungrateful end up being destroyed. I understand that your child is not doing well in school. But there was a time that even having a child was your problem. I understand that your husband may not be doing well. But there was a time that husband was your problem. I understand that your job is not paying you well. But at least you have somewhere to go every morning. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus blessed it. He blessed it. He gave thanks. And the loaf began to multiply. It began to multiply. The disciples saw the problem and they did not know how to give thanks to God. And the loaves never multiply. Those who are ungrateful cannot experience abundance. I told you the other time that one of the things that my mother taught us when we were growing, in the season where things were so difficult for us as a family, my mother taught us to be grateful for the garri we were drinking. And my mother taught us that, you see, when you have the garri and the water in front of you, give thanks, then call it any name you want to call it. So my mother taught us as children, I said, when you add the garri, I said, Father, I thank you for this garri in the name of Jesus. I also thank you because as I drink this garri, Lord, it is unto me rice and chicken. It is unto me jollof rice and whatever, you know. And, you know, when I said jollof rice, you know, those who are in my Unleashed class, my teens will know the story I told the other day that I remember one of the most embarrassing days in secondary school. I so much believed that I was so rich and, you know, that I was even saying what I don't even know. So I remember we were together one day in class and everybody were forming levels and I wanted to form levels with them. So this one said, oh, my favorite food is rice and plantain. My favorite food is jollof rice and chicken and salad. My favorite food, so I watch. There's one girl called Erikefe. She's the one that is so rich in the class. So I said, whatever Erikefe says, I will double it. So as Erikefe said, my favorite food is fried rice with salad and chicken with plantain. I said, oh, Tria, my shoe, Eleni. So when they called it, John, what's your favorite? Say, my favorite food is pounded yam and salad. Oh, you laugh? Because I thought that at least if jollof rice and salad and plantain are waiting, pounded yam and salad must be very good. So I said, what's your favorite? My pounded yam and salad. And I said, ah. Up until that time, I have never seen salad before in my life. But today I'm eating salad. Let them laugh at you. But God will still celebrate you because you refuse to confess poverty. Hallelujah. Start celebrating God this season. Refuse to talk poverty. Refuse to talk. You see, they say we are not rationing food. In this house, we are going to eat more. It's not time to eat more. Hallelujah. Finally, prepare for the next wave of abundance by embracing what I call abundance mentality. Abundance mentality. Abundance mentality. So the first one is embracing a life of praise and gratitude. How to prepare for the next wave of abundance. Embrace a lifestyle of what? Praise and gratitude. Then the final point for today is embrace an abundance mentality. An abundance mentality. Embrace abundance mentality. Now the disciples said to Jesus, look at it again. in verse 15. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a desert place and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the village and buy themselves victuals." Verse 16. But Jesus said unto them, the same people that were talking, he said unto them, they don't need to depart. You give them something to eat. The same people that they said that we don't have enough. Jesus said, no, you have. You have. You have. Let me tell you something. The first source of poverty is not lack of money, is the mind. You see, before you see the poverty of the hand in this context is a product of the poverty of the mind. The Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Most of us growing up, they have programmed poverty into us, but we don't know. They beat poverty into us. We don't know. Let me show you something. Let me show you the difference between abundance mentality and rich mentality. How many of you lost swallow here? You lost swallow. Why are you suspecting me? I'm only asking a question. You lost swallow. Good. How many of you realize that the way we eat even shows whether you are having poverty mentality or rich mentality? Let me tell you how poor people eat. When poor man is served food, whether it's rice and chicken, amala, and whatever, the first thing is that you will see that the carbohydrate is big. The protein is what? Small. It's a sign. The next sign you will see that the man eating this food is likely to be a poor man is that he will spend time, start taking the swallow. He will carry the soup and finish it, then he will carry the meat last. No be so. You are laughing. It's so bad. Listen to me. It's so bad if you grow up in some house that if you eat the meat first, they will even beat you. That you are a thief. You have not finished yet, but you are eating meat first. So in other words, they are beating you first to tell you that in this house, meat is too precious. Eat the car. So you see, by the time we finish, the stomach is so big. Eh? And there is no space. So you are even the meat, you are not spending time to eat it. When you enter the plane, the first thing you realize is that when you enter into a normal setting of rich people, is that they don't eat a lot of carbohydrates. I was shocked one day that, you know, when I entered the plane first, I think I was going to US or one of those countries. You don't have Eba. No. And I was expecting the rice to be plenty. I'm not talking about maybe traveling between Lagos and Abuja, you know, those ones. No. I'm talking about international flight, real international flight, that maybe about 6 hours. Then they brought the rice. But you see, the plate is divided into two. Then beside the plate, there's a other condiment there. Then you see fruit there. You see drink there. You see this one there. I said, Oluwa, Sheba Imayomi, this rice, will I be satisfied with this rice? See, most of us have been programmed with poverty. So much so that if somebody gives you a cloth today, say, I will keep it for Christmas. There are some of you in church today, there are clothes you have not worn this year. There are shoes you have not worn. You kept the shoe so much so that even the shoe has spot because it's a precious shoe. There are some clothes, no matter what, some of you have never worn on a Monday before. You wait only until Sunday. This clothes, now my Sunday clothes with this. Sunday clothes. It's poverty mentality. It's poverty mentality. What is called Sunday clothes is poverty mentality. You will never have special clothes again. Every cloth will be very special for you. They program it in our minds. So you will leave some clothes. Say, no. How many of you grew up in areas that even your mother has some dish on top of the wardrobe? You know what I'm saying? The dish is there. The cup is there for this mysterious guest that you will never see till the day you leave the house. And you will say, they are very good dishes. Man, they are just going to decorate. And even your mother have never served your father with that dish before. And some of you, you make one mistake to break one tumbler. They will even use it to make mark. Say with me, I overcome poverty mentality. It took me time. And in fact, I'm still struggling with it. Oh. I'm still struggling with it. Sometimes I will have finished it and say, hey, Jesus! I will start with meat. From this Monday, start with the meat. I said, start with the meat. Start with the fish. I went one day, one place, and then it was buffet time. I said, me, I will not eat a bayo. Like, I will not eat rice. I said, where is the fish? Where is the chicken? Please give me chicken and salad. At least before I have said pandadium and salad, my life has said, so give me chicken and salad. I said, give me chicken. I said, honey, you are. What do you mean? I want something good. Yeah, well, it's not until you eat. Some of us say, oh, my, the thing never gauge. You see, it never gauge. It's like until you eat and your stomach is like you are pregnant, it never gauge. Overcome that it never gauge mentality. Ah, you see, you don't like it. I said, overcome it today in the name of Jesus. Embrace. You know, one time I was in one place, poverty mentality. They put apple on the thing. Immediately I saw four apple. I said, Lady P, apple magic in the bag. You know that we'll put two apple inside the bag. Lady P said, no. I said, it's true. Apple is not my problem again. Why did I want to do this? He said, because see, with those days, when you are poor, you have not, they've not even served you. You are thinking of extra already. Do you understand? You have not finished the food. They just have this. This one cannot be enough for me. You are not. Put your hand on your head. And say, in the name of Jesus, every poverty mentality that is afflicting my life, I break out of it right now. In the name of Jesus, this season I'm challenging you. Overcome. You have to see. Nobody will do it for you. You have to do it for yourself. You have to what? Do it for yourself. How do you begin to deal with that poverty mentality? How do you embrace, all right, the mindset of abundance? The first thing I want you to begin to tell yourself is that God loves to provide for me. God loves to provide for me. The Bible says in Psalm 23 verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When God was leading them away from Egypt, did he give them a bank account? He even led them into the desert because, you see, he loves to provide for his children. So this season, keep telling yourself that my God loves to provide for me. When we're doing our building project, I thank God for the fact that I've overcome poverty mentality. Normally, for our church size, we should have built maybe a bungalow. Maybe a one-story building. But I said, no, sir. Even when there was not enough money from the day of the drawing, I said, we are going to build two-story buildings. Since that is the highest they can allow in that, we will build two-story buildings. We don't have to have the money. But because I just realized that, you see, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You are a reflection of what is going on in your mind. When I announced last Sunday that, oh, we have started the process of registering our church school, somebody came to say, Pastor, you don't take it easy at all. Why should I take it easy? We will have a school and our school will be outstanding in the land. Yeah, it will be one of the best schools in Jesus' name. Yeah, but we have not finished building. We've not even finished the building project. We are also now in the process of starting a school. Why not? God loves to provide for me. That is my confidence. Say it to yourself, God loves to provide for me. So the first thing you must begin to then know in this season that don't let poverty, things are so hard, oh, we will not give birth again. Say, not my portion, I will start giving birth. Things are so hard, oh. He said, no. You start speaking positively over your life. That is the gateway to abundance mentality. Let's quickly look at two ways you can begin to overcome and embrace abundance mentality. Number one, be rich towards God through your service. If you want to overcome, if you want to begin to embrace, abundance mentality, be rich towards God through what? Your service. That is the first way to overcome abundance, to embrace, abundance mentality. John chapter 12 verse 26 says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my disciples, my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father what? Honor. Amen, somebody. God loves those who serve him. Abundance mentality makes you think that I have something to offer. Poverty mentality makes you think that somebody must always offer me something. How many of you have given a beggar 50,000 naira before? Watch. You've given a beggar 50,000 naira before on the road. Lambia la, tambun tambun, lambia la. And say, you can't take 50,000 naira, take. Okay, let's bring it down. How many of you, somebody said, lambia la, tambun tambun, and you give 20,000 naira? Watch. I'm trying to let you know something. How many of you, you have given them 10,000 naira before? No, nobody in this church. Tamu tamu lambia la, I said, take 5,000 naira. You've given 5,000 naira to tamu tamu lambia la. At least, okay. Please see me after the service. I like you. I like you. I like you. See me. But you realize that beggars don't get wealth. Why? Because you see, sitting down to beg will never make you rich. We never make you have abundance. Now, listen to me. If nobody this year or last year has given you 50,000 naira, 100,000, 30,000, it shows how you are also living your life. When a poor man is beside a rich man, the first thing is, oh Lord, let him open his eyes. How many of you have seen those uncle who come to your house? Let him just give me money. Why is he not seeing me? Some of you are saying, I want Dangote to be my father. You don't care. Why? It's a poverty mentality. You see, money always flow towards service. There are those who are getting very rich right now, not because they are begging, but because they are serving. The more product you produce, and the more product and services you produce, the more you earn. Money flows towards service. Resources flow towards service, not towards beggars. The difference between those who have and those who don't have is that they've come to realize that they must offer services so that things can flow to them. Jesus said, he that serves is the one God will bless. Unfortunately, I've seen people come to church, for instance, right? They just come to church. The first thing at that church, they have money. They have money. So the next thing you see, oh, my children's school fees. Oh, my house rent. Oh, this. And they bring all this huge bill. As a pastor, you see, when I hear people come with bills, the first thing I do, does this person believe in serving? And you see these people sometimes, they sit down from January to March or January to December doing nothing in church. Because you don't see that you have something that you can offer. As a church, we believe in helping people. As I'm standing here, even at our level, there are children who are on scholarship in this church, even to university level. But you see, go and check one thing that is common in all of them. They are also adding value to the church. Begin to serve. Begin to serve. There is no one, even if you don't have money, you have talent. When you are in a church, the first thing after you settle down in a church, how can I add value to this church? Do you know everything we are enjoying now is because some people are making it happen? All right? Some people are making it happen. When I began to feel it right now, but I know that, okay, some people are doing something in the powerhouse, doing something there. If everybody refused to serve, nobody will be able to sit in this church today. But that means I ask to say, if everybody were like you, will you have a place to sit down? A church is a reflection of the love of the people for God. When you end, God, the reason why God sets up a church is for people to have a place where they can express their love for God, not where they can keep getting from God. Never be in a church without doing something. You see, when you enter a church, what you are seeing is the reflection of the heart of the people. If you see a disorganized church, it's because the people there are disorganized. If you see a poor church, it's because the people there don't love to give. If you see a church that is not advancing, it's because the people there don't love God to the extent that they can give to God to advance. If all of us are as committed to the house of God or to the things of God, the way we are committed to our career and our business, I'm telling you, our life will have been better. When it comes to God, we have excuses. But when it comes to our business, those excuses disappear. Jesus said, John 12:26, he that serve, my Father will honor. I want to challenge you in this month of March. Rise up to start serving. You know, sometimes I look at people. You have come to me to talk about all your problem. But I look at you, don't believe in what I believe in. If you have ever come to church sometime, when people are doing big man, there are times I wash the gutter by myself. Because it's my Father's house. Till date, I still clean this place. Why? I don't see it as a big deal. But you are coming to a man who believes in cleaning the floor. You are too big to clean the floor. And you are thinking that I am where I am. See, I used to be a conductor. If till now, I can say that, well, if I change your woman, I change your man, but I want guy to go see back, you know. You see now, but I look too. Hello, how you doing? It's because Jesus Baushuka Aru on my head. Those of you who don't understand Yoruba, just take it as an English word. I simply say it's because Jesus had decided to help me. I was a full-time conductor. We used to go to one church, from one church to the other to beg. I remember my mother would carry any church we enter those days, 6 children. We are just looking for money, but my mother had to understand the fact that, no, this is not the gateway to blessing. So when my mother carried, I remember the first church that really blessed us. We didn't go there to ask for 50 kobo. My mother entered the church and said, all of you 6 children, you are joining the choir. When we joined the choir and began, see, we were singing not because we wanted money, but before then, every other church was what they would give to us, not what we can give to them. My mother realized that we are rich. My mother would come to church every Saturday, clean the church like no man's business. I remember the first thing that the pastor did. One day the pastor said, it's Easter, you people don't have anywhere to go. The pastor carried the 6 of us, including my mother, to his house, fed us for 3 days. Why will he do that? Because he had seen of the truth. These people have valuable assets. But those places we used to go to begging for money, nobody ever did that for us. That pastor was the one that then began to make way for some of us to go to school, help us do things. Then the people in the church began to rally around us without begging them. They began because service makes you beautiful. Service makes you beautiful. On Valentine's Day, I carried my wife. I said, we are going to visit one of our sisters in church. Where she works was around Allen or something. I said, this lady has been a blessing to the church. She's a one-man mopo. There are a lot of things she has done. Free. I said, no. I told my wife. I can't remember buying a Valentine card. I said, no, let's buy one. Both of us, we address it. Let's go and give her. We go to her place. We sat with her. And we appreciated her. But I'm not saying, Pastor, sorry, you are not saying that me. Me, I'm not be some more than this church. Who is that? Who said that? Who said that? Who said that? Why are you like that? But I'm just trying to say that what was it that triggered that thing in my heart? Because when I looked, honestly speaking, this particular sister, she's a one-man mopole in our church. Most of you, she's a behind-the-scene person making things to happen. And I realized that my heart was drawn to her. I said, and lady, please tell the truth. You are right. Let's go. Look at what Jesus did for a man. Luke 7:2. This was the first time that Jesus and the Pharisees, they agreed on one subject together. Luke 7:2. At that time, New Living Translation. At that time, the highly valued slave of a Roman officer was sick and near death. And when the officer heard about Jesus, he sent some respected Jewish leaders to ask him to come and heal his slave. Verse 4. So they earnestly begged Jesus to help the man. If anyone deserves your help, he does, they said. Why? Verse 5. For he loves the Jewish people and has built a synagogue for them. I want to encourage you. It is time to roll up your sleeves and start serving. The church is a place to express your love. The church is a place for you to sweat for God. Start serving. And see how God will make things beautiful. Finally, be rich towards God through your giving. Embrace now. Through your giving. Through your service and through your giving. Let me quickly read Malachi chapter 3 verse 10, New Living Translation. Malachi chapter 3 verse 10, New Living Translation. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse so that there will be enough food in my temple. All right? If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. And I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to test. Your crops will be abundant. I thought somebody would say amen. Amen. For I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grace will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Verse 12. Then all nations will call you blessed. For your land will be such a delight, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Tithing, look at it. Look at the business. Bring you all tithe. Verse 10 again. Bring you all tithe. Give me verse 10 again. Look at it. Before that, bring you all the tithe into the storehouse so that there will be enough food in my what? Then verse 12 then says, then all nations will call you what? It's a transaction. Now, we want to be called blessed, but you see that we don't believe in giving. Some years ago, there was some couple in our church. They've been in church for some time. I can't remember how long. Never served in any department. Never joined anything. Of course, as a pastor, I can only preach and encourage you. Don't be a bench woman in a church. The church can only advance with the gift of everybody at work. Then, one day, I was there in the office. They said that, oh, these people said that they have given birth and they needed about 300,000 naira assistance from church. Now, that one for me, if we have it, why not? We can give. But the first thing we normally do in our church is that I said, verify their index number. Check their tithe record. And to my amazement, both the husband and the wife never tithed 50 kobo in their over 1 year in church. I said, what? You are in church? You have never given a tithe of 50 kobo and you've been in church for over 1 year? And you not even do everything to even help in serving. So you have only been sitting in church. Now you say, you need over 300,000. You see, that was about 2 or 3 years ago. From that day, one of the things we said is that normally we used to help those who are giving birth. But from that day, we said, no, in our church, delivery is not an emergency anymore. Because when you are jumping up and down, you must have made a decision on how to take care of what you are bringing birth. So, and as a man, I said, don't just know how to jump up and down. Also know how to be responsible. Number two, these people don't have money. Because they feel that they are in a rich church. General Hospital is there. They did not go. They went to a private hospital that will charge them about 2 years ago, 300,000 for. And number three, I said, now, you are. Where do you think the 300,000 will come from? No. Where? So you want the church to carry money of those who believe in what you don't believe in. So we should carry the tithing money of those who are tithing and give it to you, a non-tither. That's a curse if we give it to you. We made an arrangement with a bank recently to start helping our business people in church. Only few churches to really think that way. Because we know that we cannot just be saying, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. It took us time to make arrangement with the bank. And we said that the bank, anybody from the church, at least, don't collect any interest. We will pay the interest for whatever you are giving them, as long as it's genuine business. But I said to them, when they came to me, I said, but before you do this, check all their tithe record. I was so shocked that majority of those who submitted assistance in church do not believe in tithing. True or not true? I said, what? It is not magic. If you want to be blessed, you must be a giver. Proverbs chapter, give me Proverbs 12. I think somewhere in Proverbs chapter 12, let me just give you something in Proverbs 12 and see what the Bible says about Proverbs. The generous soul shall be made flat. Please help me look for it. Proverbs. There's a scripture like that in Proverbs. The generous soul shall be made fat, the generous soap. I think Proverbs 12:24. Check Proverbs 12:24 or somewhere like that for me. I think it's very, you will see that if you have not there, then let me look for it. Bible said that he that giveth shall be refreshed. Then the generous soul, God shall make it fast. There is he that giveth and it abounded to poverty. No, there is he that withhold it and abounded to poverty. But there is he that release and give more and it tended to wealth. Then the generous soul. Proverbs what? 11:25. Give me Proverbs 11:25. Make it New Living Translation. Proverbs 11:25. I think you should start from verse 24 if you have it. Yes, Proverbs 11:25. 11:24 first. 11:24. Look at it. Give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. You are quoting scripture. You don't believe in tithing and you are in a church. Where do you think the church get the money from? The Bible did not hide it. It said, bring your all tithe so that there can be resources in the house of God. You may not need school fees, but there's a teacher that needs school fees in church. You may not need house rent, but there's somebody that genuinely needs house rent in church. But if there's no resources, the church becomes handicapped. Embrace abundant mentality. You can never give to God and be poor. If I show you the building project right now, we are doing people say we are not getting money from any people. I stood there one afternoon and said, everybody give, buy one glass, buy one frame, and people gave, and that is how we are giving. Then it says the generous soul will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be what? Embrace that mentality of abundance. In this season, I'm praying for you today. Whatever has afflicted your finances, whatever has blocked you from receiving financial blessings this season, if you have never had the testimony that somebody gave you 200,000, somebody gave me 300,000, somebody gave you 100,000, this year, may God open you up for such abundance. You see, the man who sent me to America to go and study was a man I never knew his house. Only a few of you can ever hear such a testimony. And yet, the man walked into my office. I didn't know him from Adam. After I finished doing something for him, he said, why don't you go and stay in America? And I said, no, what I need is just to go and get the certification in America. I said, how much? At that time, like 15 years ago, there about 15, 18 years ago, I said, I need over 5 million naira. So you should know what over 5 million naira means. Over 15 years ago. And the man, I didn't know who he was. I didn't know. He gave it to me. It is just a God is still in the business of helping those. But you must be generous. Some of you have never seen any child in church wearing slippers before. How come? Be generous to the poor. Look at those who can. See, there is no weak. There is no weak I don't create. If it doesn't come to me, I create it to be a blessing to somebody. You see, there is no weak that somebody I will not give to somebody. That weak can never come. I said that weak can never come. It's an abundance mentality. And now I'm praying for you in this season. Whatever has kept you poor, whatever has made you, kept you in debt, whatever has closed the door of financial breakthrough to you, I declare it is lifted today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Finally, I want to say to you, in this month of March and in 2024, the kind of blessing you have not seen before, the kind of promotion you have not seen before, the kind of help from God that you have not seen before, the kind of open doors you have not seen before, the kind of help from above that you have never witnessed before. That which your mother did not see. That which your father did not see. That which your husband have not seen before. That which your wife have not testified before. That which your brothers have not seen before. That which your father have not seen before. I am declaring this very month of March. As you are entering this month of March. Even as we take this communion today. My God will send it to you. I said, my God will send it to you. My God will send it to you. In the name of Jesus. Those of you who are in debt, those of you who don't have things to eat, those of you who are struggling to pay your bills, as many who are joining online or in person, who are going through a season of financial crisis, I declare today that from this day, may my God step into your own crisis. That season of financial crisis is over in your life. What's the gateway? Start serving so that God can honor you. Rise up and say, out of these 50 kobo I have, 10 kobo I will give to God. This one I will look for somebody to give. Then keep the remaining 3. Let me end up by saying this. When as a family we overcame the poverty mentality, we were in a vigil one day. My mother was 6 children. And all we had left was 5 naira. In case you don't understand how things were so difficult for us, my mother and I, every evening, we move around Ojodu, around between 7 and 9. And my mother would say, yeah, look at that one. Go and meet him. Go and meet him. And when I go, I say, hey, sir, we came from Badagry, and we want to go back. There is no transport fare to go back. And the man we came to, did we not meet him? And et cetera, et cetera. And the man will look. Some of them will say, come on, get away. And some, when they send me away, my mother will say, don't worry, don't worry. Let's go to the next one. In case you don't know how things were so difficult, it was a season that my mother encouraged me and I said, mommy, Ikeja bus stop used to have crowds. So I took my sister one evening. We stood at Ikeja bus stop and I was like this with my eyes closed and my hand like this. And my sister was standing by my side and we were begging for money. And my sister was collecting money. This was the season of how we were surviving. But my mother realized that there's no future in that. We had to change the way we think. The first breakthrough we saw as a family was the last 5 naira we went to church with. It was a vigil. It stood with me because it was the first time I saw abundance. And when it was offering time, my mother gathered the 6 of us. And said, children, this is the last 5 naira in our hands. But it's not even enough for us in the first place. Let's give it to God. So the 6 of us, including my mother, 7, we lay hands on that 5 naira and we gave it to God. We went from that vigil and slept that night in the morning. We slept, you know, when there is no food, sleep does not end. Oh, we slept and slept and slept and slept and slept. If you wake up, you're on your own because there is nothing to eat. But around 10 or 9 a.m. in the morning, we heard a knock on our door. And a woman, when my mother opened, the woman said, Ma, I know, I don't know you. You don't know me. But this morning, I heard the Lord said to me, go to, I think, maybe the way number 12. I said, go to number 12, Association Way. And it happened to be the next compound. Go to the last room. Go and be a blessing to them. The woman came with gari, came with beans, came with yam, foodstuff, and she also came with 500 naira. By the time the woman gave it to us, I thought we were all sleeping before. Nothing, even Velon 20 cannot make us sleep again. All of us, we woke up, and you know, out of it, we knelt down with tears in our hands. We have seen the goodness of God. Right there and there, we realize serving God, opening your heart to be a giver, is one of the ways to experiencing abundance. From that day, we began to see the hand of God as a family. I learned my lesson as a small child that when you release to God, is the first way of exercising your faith to becoming prosperous. If my mother had kept that 5 naira, we would have gone back to begging the next day. Which one is more honorable? For God to send the person to come and bless you, or for you to be the one to go there? I think the other one is more honorable. When God laid it in their heart to bless you. You have been begging for so long. Nothing has changed. But now I'm challenging you. Put the word of God to work. Start serving. Stop honoring him. And see how he will turn your life around. This is the secret I have come to live with you in this month of March. That this month of March, from this month, not just this month,
God will so embarrass you with abundance, He will so embarrass you with provision, that you yourself will say, Lord, I never knew that you will honor me this way. I never knew you will honor me this way. I never knew you will honor me this way. Honor me this way. Thank you, Jesus.
I thank God that you have run after men, but now it's time to run after God. You don't know how to kneel before God,
we eventually kneel before men.
Every situation that is an embarrassment to you today, God is lifting it up. I said, God is lifting it up. Can you stand to your feet with me? Lift your hand.
I never know you will honor me this way. I never knew you will honor me this way. I never knew you will honor me this way. Honor me this way. Thank you, Jesus.
When we are coming before this communion right now, let this communion be a communion of new beginning for you. Make up your mind that as you are eating this communion, Jesus said, if I am washing your feet, I have shown you the example of what to do. You wash the feet of other people. Serve others. I want you to say to yourself that the same grace that multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fishes in the hands of Jesus, that same grace will start opening doors for you this month.
Amen.
But before we do that, the Bible says God will not hear the prayer of a sinner. The Bible says that your sins have separated you from God. This is the month where you will see abundance like never before. But you see, your sin will not allow God to reach you. Some of you, you no longer have a deep relationship with God. Some of us right now, you've been running helter-skelter, but you have not had time for God. For some of us here, you have backslided. You no longer pray. You no longer fast. You no longer have time to wait upon the Lord. But this is a new month. It's a month you can say, Lord, I am starting afresh. I know somebody is here today. You have put your trust in your strength, in your work, in others, but not in God. But you want to say, Pastor, please pray for me. I want to start trusting God. Before we take the communion and before I pray for you, I am so certain that today, in this month, heaven will open over your life in new ways. But let God recognize you. Let God make all things work out in your favor. Let God step into your life. You have been doing it your own way. Why don't you now allow God to do it His way in your life? So wherever you are, can we bow our heads? You want to say, Pastor, please, I want to give my life to Jesus. See, giving your life to Jesus is not just going to heaven. It's bringing heaven on earth. It's bringing heaven on earth. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't, it's not about going to hell. Oh. Some already are in hell with the kind of suffering they are going through. It's bringing heaven to earth. To earth is bringing heaven to your life. So when I say come to give your life to Jesus, it's mean let God step in to turn your life around. I know you are here. You need to open your heart to allow Jesus to come in. Wherever you are, I want to pray for you. So all heads bow and all eyes closed. If you would like to Jesus to step into your life, if you want to surrender your life to Jesus, if you want to say, Jesus, help me make all things new in my life, wherever you are, just lift up your right hand. I want to pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. Yes. God bless you. I can see that hand. I can see that hand. But there is still one more person. All right? You need to make that decision. Please come forward very quickly. Let me pray for you. Please come. Can you come to me? Yes, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. He wants to step into your life. He wants to help you. He wants to make all things new. Today is the day that Jesus will turn things around in your life.
It doesn't matter how long you have been coming to church, but if you have to give your life to Jesus, you are not sure you are born again. You can be sure today. You can be sure to. Don't leave this place. Yes, come if you want to come. Come. God does not reject people. He does not reject people. Lord, have your way in me.
Lord, have your way in me.
Lift your hands and say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on my soul. I have come before you this day. Have mercy on me. All I'm praying is your mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. I have not hidden myself from you. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, Lord. Have mercy.
Thank you for tuning in on this episode. We hope you've been blessed and empowered to transcend new heights of faith and growth. Stay connected with us for more empowering and faith-filled messages. And remember, you are part of a community committed to transformation. Until next time, go forth empowered by God's grace.